As I said a few minutes ago before the song, the last bit of time has been rather challenging for many. And this week has been rather challenging around the church here with many different things going on. And we're moving into Lent season. And as I said, Miss Betty's funeral. Ash Wednesday service Wednesday night, a very good time of study here. And then, but more looking at what's needed and the cares and concerns of the church. As I mentioned a few moments ago, I'm on my third sermon this week. I had one Monday and Tuesday. And I even made the statement Wednesday night that I was going to cover Psalm 32. That didn't work out. And then I was going to the story of David and Goliath and slaying the giant, which is in your bulletin. That one didn't last long. And so I'm sitting here in my mind going, you know, Lord, where would you have us this week? Where do I need to be me? But then also, where do I need us to be on this day? And my attention turned to this table. Because when we are in the throes of life, just living, the distractions, the pace, the just trying to keep up, it's enough to cause us to be beleaguered and just struggle with our faith sometimes. Add to that the passing of a loved one, the soon passing of a loved one, illnesses, challenges of life. I mean, they're here. And so again, I said, where do you want us, Lord? And again, this table came. And so this morning, I want us to turn our attention to Jesus Christ. Not Psalm 32, which is a lament psalm, which would lead us perfectly into the Lent season. And that's a beautiful psalm, but that's not the place. Nor should our attention be given, although it would be rightly done so, in God providing for David as he faced Goliath, and David coming there in great faith and great assurance facing this giant. And David himself, a rather small man, but yet he faced him and overcame him through the power. But yet, at the core of all of that, at the core of every one of those issues, is Jesus Christ. And so I want to bring us to that place and put him first and foremost and at the center of what we're doing here this morning as we do turn our attention to the cross, as we do turn our attention to Easter, and we gain an even greater, and see, this is hard to say, as I said Wednesday night, to gain a greater appreciation for what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I mean, but to raise that emphasis in our minds of what he did for each of us on that cross when he gave his life to satisfy the sin penalty. Join me in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hear the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of the living God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. I could almost say amen and sit down. That text will about preach itself. But the writer to the Hebrews starts out referring back to chapter 11. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he's referring to chapter 11 in that what we call the hall of faith. All those individuals that are cited in chapter 11, beginning with Abraham and going on down through Moses and Joseph, etc., etc., telling the story of the example these individuals gave to us. So the first thing we look to in Jesus Christ in the text we have here is that we are to look at these, along with Jesus Christ, as examples, as an example of how we are to run the race, as the writer of Hebrews has given it to us, to endure. We look at them as examples. Abraham, called to leave his home. Moses, called to lead millions of Israelites out of the land of Egypt into the promised land. Joseph, who was the Christ forerunner, if you will, providing for his family during the famine. They serve as an example for us as we look to Jesus Christ, but they all serve as an example of how we are to endure. We have been given the Holy Spirit. We have been given that strength. So in the times of challenge, in the times of just living life, we are to endure. But there's one word that is repeated before every one of these individuals' names that is the key here that gives us the way in which they endured. And it is the word faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Rahab. And the list goes on. So here, that gift of faith that was given to you at redemption, just like it was given to Abraham, and just like it was given to Moses, and it led them through those troubling, challenging times, that's how we survive. That's how we make it through these days that we've been given. We stand the trials and the challenges and the passing of loved ones, etc., through faith. And what is faith? Chapter 11, verse 1. It's the assurance of things hoped for. Notice the word assurance. Very strong word. Be assured. Be assured that if you've been gifted faith, then that which you hope for will come to realization. And that which we hope for is the fulfillment of our salvation. Not an easy life. Please hope for the right thing. Not an easy life. We serve a suffering servant. And so we will suffer in this life as well. But what we hope for is that that salvation that which we have been given will come and find its completion on that day of glorification. Things hoped for, things not seen. It is by faith. All right, now the writer of the Hebrews calls on us to do something. He said, let us lay aside every weight. Now, he's using the illustration of a runner running a race, an endurance race. Let's call it the marathon. Some of you have done that. Not me. But that endurance, and picture in your mind the runner. They dress for the occasion. Light clothing, the proper footwear, etc., etc. But they are geared very lightly so that they can accomplish what's set before them. So here, using that illustration, we should lay aside everything that burdens us so that we can run that race of endurance. One commentator says, the things that would entangle your legs to cause you to stumble, we need to put aside. In my mind, there's an issue there. My loved one just passed away. Lord, how do I lay aside that weight? Delinda, Scotty, and Michelle, and Taryn, and Merle, and all of them are up there right now sitting by Lynn's bed. How do you lay that aside? I think in my mind that he is not calling on us to ignore those things of our life. But of what attitude of mind do you deal with them? What attitude of mind do you deal with them? Does the passing of a loved one absolutely take you under to where you lose the assurance or you lose the sight of that faith gifted you, and it's just Satan uses it to take you to such a level of despair. The chore and the plagues, the hardships of your family. And I know many of you, all of us have wonderful families, but we all got our stories and challenges and heartaches and issues. And you can't lay those aside. You can't just turn around and walk away from them and say, well, if I ignore that, God said it'd be okay. No, I don't think that's what he's teaching. But do we deal with those things of our life with the attitude of mind saying, God has assured me that he will be with me and he will take me through these times. And so I will not let that weight of care entangle me and cause me to fail in my life of faith. One of the first things I mentioned to Lynn when he was diagnosed and he began talking through things, I said, Lynn, there's one thing you will show your family, and that'll be a strong testimony of faith. And let your children and let your grandchildren see you and hear you verbalize that. And that's exactly what he's done. And so he is running the race, and his is about over. But yet that circumstance of which he is in right now, he did not let it taint his faith. He said, I've lived 79 good years. I've lived a good life. I've done a lot. In the last conversation he had with me, he said, I'm ready to go. I'm done. And so see, he laid that weight aside. He did not become over encumbered by his illness. So I encourage all of you, wherever we are, remember what Jesus said to you. I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will never forsake you. And as I quoted in Sunday school, he who began a good work in you, he will find it to completion. Now that completion, that's his timetable, not mine. So lay aside that weight, right attitude of mind. Then he goes on to say, and also that sin which clings so closely. Wow. The writer don't mince words. He knows who he's talking to, and we're all sinners, and we've all got that thing. We've all got that place that Satan loves to use to lead us to depression, to despair, to heartache, etc., etc. We have to work. As the old Puritan writers would write, we have to mortify that sin. Mortify means to kill. Very bluntly. Kill that sin which clings to you, which causes you to not run the race as in ways that which the Lord has given you. Lay that aside. Lay that aside. So here, the writer of the Hebrews has given us a couple of do's. We got to faith. We are to lay aside the weight, and we are to mortify the sin in our life. So if we work hard doing that, we'll be okay, right? The harder we work, the better we are. Thank you for all the no-shaking heads. Thank you for all the no-shaking heads. Look at verse 2. And here is the entire key to the passage. Do what he said. But then he says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. The founder of our faith, sort of a unique phrase here in the Greek, but it simply means one who established. Look to the one who established your faith. How did Jesus Christ establish, found our faith? Born incarnate, lived a sinless life, obtained the righteousness of the law, died on that cross, paying the penalty for your sin, then on that Easter Sunday morning was resurrected, and now, as the passage points out, is seated at the right hand of the Father. That entire quantity of work that he brought in his place here on earth, in his work as the second person of the Trinity, founded, established your faith. Through all of that work, faith was born. And then it was gifted to you through the Holy Spirit on that day you were redeemed. So when you get to those places and those challenges, you turn to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I know that I am yours. I know the faith that you have gifted me is meant especially for me. And that this word perfecter, he founded it. And then perfecter means matured or complete. What did Jesus Christ say on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. Nothing else needs to be done. Nothing else needs to happen. Your faith has been founded. Your faith has been established. Your faith has been perfected. It has found maturity in Jesus Christ, and it has been given to you through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, that gift of faith is not perfected in me yet, but the gift itself is perfect. And then through my growing, I become a better runner in this race. As I look to the work of the Holy Spirit through which Jesus Christ has given, I become that stronger runner and am not overwhelmed by the things of life. So see, that's what we hold on to. That's what Jesus Christ gave you through salvation and that assurance we gain by the presence of the Holy Spirit, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And see, here's the beauty. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, that's a phrase we hear often, and it's not a phrase to be taken lightly. When it says that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, just like he said on the cross, even more convincingly and more thoroughly now, when he's seated at the right hand of the Father, that means he is finished. He's done. Just like God the Father, and well, just like the Trinity, in the 6 days of creation, on that seventh day, they reclined away from work. Why? They were done. They were done. They're finished. Nothing left to do. Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, means that everything he has got to do is done, which again leads to an assurance of us and for us. Leads to an assurance for us. Lord, if you could just do so and so, I would be... No. It's done. Now, again, we grow in our faith. We grow in the strength through the Holy Spirit. We become more mature. We become stronger runners, as I've said. But as far as the work of Jesus Christ is concerned, it's done. Nothing yet less is yet to do. And to me, that brings a great level of assurance, because in all of his promises are yes and yes. Yes and yes. And then there's an encouragement once more from the writer to the Hebrews. It says, consider him, Jesus Christ, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility. Think back for a moment to the movie The Passion. Each Easter, Judy and I try to watch that. Sometimes I have to fast forward through that scene of the scourging. It's tough. It's hard. And in reality, if you go back and read Isaiah, he was not even recognizable as a man. So I don't think the movie, well, it was pretty grotesque. I don't think the movie comes anywhere close. But yet, because of what God the Father in his decrees gave for his people through the covenant he made with Abraham, he had to secure that covenant. And he secured that covenant through the new covenant, through the completed covenant, which is Jesus Christ, living a righteous life, dying on the cross, suffering that humility. It's assumed that Jesus Christ hung on that cross almost completely nude. The humiliation and suffocated. But yet, the grave did not hold him. And that Easter Sunday morning. See, that's what we need to know and hold in our hearts when we face the heartaches, the challenges, and the times of this life. We could have gone to Psalm 32 and talked about repentance and confession of sin, etc. We could have gone to David's story in 1 Samuel and him slaying the giant. Those are awesome passages. But sometimes when I get to a place where there's just so much going on and there's, as Judy and I say, we've got too many minds. Things are just going in too many directions. You stop and you center. You center yourself in Jesus Christ. And that is what gets us through. Not me, not my power, but that of the Holy Spirit in us. And Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, told his disciples in John 15, I have to go, and one has to come so that he can come and be here with you and for you in this time. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful word. And Jesus Christ, that you are indeed the founder and perfecter of our faith, that you have done all that's necessary to secure that faith, and you have gifted that faith to us through the Holy Spirit. And so we can survive. We can live through these times. There is a place where fear has to face the God we know, because we are not alone. We are not alone. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.